All right, welcome once again. We are actually in the last message in this current series on the Holy Spirit. Some of you will be disappointed, some of you will be happy. I mentioned last time that I wanted to sort of close with a prophetic look forward at the work of the Holy Spirit, really at the close of this age and in the age to come. So last time we looked at what the scripture says about the Holy Spirit's work at the end of the church age and on into the coming tribulation. This message is going to look really at the Holy Spirit in the coming great reset. Now you may be thinking, the coming great reset? You mean what that Bond villain lookalike at the World Economic Forum is currently talking about and planning in connection with most governments in the Western world? That great reset? No, not that one. That's man's attempt at gaining power and control at the expense of you and me. What I'm talking about is the real soon coming great reset. You know, the one that God is going to do, the one that will reset everything. It will see every part of life on this planet reset to how it was meant to be. It will see the planet itself brought into the glorious liberty and freedom from the curse that it's been under since the fall in the Garden of Eden. It will see all governments on earth fall, and the King of Kings take his position and rule over the whole earth. You know, this is not wishful thinking, but it's been prophesied about throughout the Bible, and we can see the shadow that it casts in the signs within our current age and day. It's the Messianic Kingdom, and according to Scripture, it will be a glorious time when the Spirit is poured out on the earth. So what are we going to look at in this message? We're going to just briefly look at just some of the names and hope to do with this coming kingdom. We're then going to explore some of the prophecies that talk about the, you know, the work and the presence and how the Spirit is poured out in this age. And I want to just conclude by kind of contrasting maybe the heaviness of today with the glory of tomorrow. All right. Let's get into it. So, the Old Testament prophets, Jesus and the apostles, they all spoke of a time when everything would be put right. You've probably heard of it. I've used the term Messianic Kingdom. Maybe you've heard of the Millennium. I always like a title that Jesus gave to this time. When he said, talking to his disciples, he said, "Truly, I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, I've spoken about this before, and knowing me, will likely do so again, because I really like the imagery given in that word that Jesus used, regeneration. It's actually from a Greek word, palingenesia, and it's derived from two other Greek words, palin, meaning once more or again, and genesis, meaning the beginning. So Jesus was actually encouraging his disciples, saying that a time was coming when the conditions on earth would be like Genesis again. They would be restored to how it was in the beginning once more before the fall. And it's going to be a time when believers, like I've just read about, will actually rule and reign with Christ in this kingdom. Yet did you know that your life today is preparation for that time and the position that you will find yourself in that day? You know, how you live today certainly matters, and your faithfulness to the Lord will be rewarded accordingly. Now, Peter also spoke about this time, this coming Messianic Kingdom, when he was speaking in the early part of Acts chapter 3, in his sermon to his fellow Jews, he said this: "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So, two other kind of names for this time that is coming are given by Peter there. First of all, he calls it the times of refreshing, but also the times of restoration of all things. I don't know about you, but I long for such times. You know, I long for the days of the King. I long to see God worshipped. I long to see Jesus enthroned. I want to see Satan bound and judged for all that he has done. And I long to see all of creation restored and brought into this liberty that even it longs for, according to Romans 8, 19 to 21. You know, it's the time of the restoration of all things, and it's not far off. I love how C.S. Lewis describes it in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And he writes, "Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again." So until then, we await the Lord's coming and desire to live faithfully in fellowship with him. You know, and as I said at the start, you know, man is currently working on his own plans for this, what they call the Great Reset, where they want to reset how the financial markets work, how the governments work, how society and social life on this planet works. You know, their plan begins by actually destroying the current structures and, in their words, then build back better. But Bible prophecy tells us that it won't end well. And the Lord himself actually sits in heaven and laughs in derision at mankind's feeble attempts at power and rebellion. But he has his own plans which will not be stopped. And along with his plans to restore all things, one of the amazing things about this time that is coming is actually the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. So that's what I want to look at now. In the last message, we saw that the prophet Joel spoke about a time when Israel would be restored and they would come into the new covenant. They would come into that relationship with their Messiah, finally. But he specifically went on to say something. He said, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So you'll note that Joel says, "and afterward," okay, with the context being the time of the restoration of Israel at the end of the tribulation. You know, this time that's coming of Jacob's trouble. So afterward, that says the prophet Joel said that there would be a great outpouring of God's Spirit on all people as they go on into the Messianic Kingdom Age. Noted prophecy Bible teachers have spoken about this. You know, one such example is probably, you know, the late great Bible prophecy teacher John Woolford. He was a pastor, a teacher, he was a former president of Dallas Theological Seminary. And he just wrote this. He said, "The millennium will undoubtedly be the most glorious of all the dispensations. There will be the fullest display of righteousness, of universal peace and prosperity that will characterize this period. Christ will rule all the earth and every nation will acknowledge him. The knowledge of the Lord will be from sea to sea." And he goes on to say, "It is manifest that in such a period, the Holy Spirit will have a ministry which exceeds previous dispensations in its power and fullness. and the filling of the Holy Spirit will be common in the millennium, in contrast to the infrequency of it in other ages. And it will be manifested in worship and praise of the Lord and in willing obedience to Him, as well as in spiritual power and inner transformation. You know, and this lines up with several scriptures that speak about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at this time. So let's just do like a little bit of homework and just run through some of these scriptures. I want to begin with Ezekiel, because the prophet Ezekiel spoke of the general plan of God, specifically for the Jewish nation. And he said this, Ezekiel 36, verses 24 to 27. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in all my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So just note the progression that is outlaid in this passage. First of all, it says that God will take the Jews out of all the nations that they were sent or dispersed into. And this really began in 70 AD for the worldwide dispersion. Secondly, it says that he will bring them back into their own land once again. And this was fulfilled in 1948 when Israel became a nation again. And that continual drive, even today, is seen where the Jews still have this inner desire to return to their homeland. Thirdly, it says that God will sprinkle clean water on them to cleanse them and give them a new heart. You know, and while individual Israelites are turning to Jesus, and even in more numbers today, as a nation, this is still future and it awaits really the end of the tribulation period. But fourthly and finally, note how it says God will put his spirit in them and actively cause them to walk in his ways. You know, this again is still future, but it will be fulfilled. There will be an outpouring of God's spirit upon them when they come into the salvation planned for that nation. This is also focused on by the prophet Zechariah, who spoke of what happens right at the very end when the Lord comes. Zechariah 12, 9 and 10, it says, and in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And then he says this, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. So we see at the end of the tribulation, when all nations have come against Israel, God will save them as they look to the one that they pierced. Now, who on earth or in heaven could that be talking about? Who is it that the Jews or the Israel as a nation pierced? No prizes, right? It's Jesus, Yeshua, their Messiah. And look at what happens. God pours out his spirit. But first, it's a spirit of grace and supplication. That is, it's the work of the Spirit in salvation, producing repentance and supplication, even amongst intense mourning, when the nation of Israel will see what they did to their Messiah Jesus. And God's response is a spirit of grace, pure grace, upon those that didn't deserve it, like you and me as well. And what a day that'll be. You know, it's not an exaggeration to say that all of the world events and human history are really leading up to this one climactic conclusion when Israel sees their Messiah and their Messiah comes. The prophet Isaiah also spoke of this time. In chapter 32, it speaks of the kingdom age still to come. And it begins with this, saying, "Behold, a king will reign righteously, and princes will rule justly." You know, that king is Jesus. The princes could well be you and me, who will actually rule and reign with him. But as we go further through this chapter, Isaiah 32, it speaks of the nation of Israel being deserted and left for a long time, which is really a good part of the last 2,000 years of human history. But look at what it says happens when that time is over. Let me read from Isaiah 32, verses 13 to 18. It says, "On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars, yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city, because the palaces will be forsaken. The bustling city will be deserted. The forts and towers will become lairs forever. A joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet, restful places." So Isaiah specifically says that judgment will come upon Judah, and this whole region will be deserted and abandoned. But there's an until. He gives an event that comes after that. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. And that again is a sure sign of the kingdom age, when the wilderness will become like a fruitful field, when justice and righteousness dwell in the field, then there will be peace, quietness, assurance forever. And of course, it's at that time that the one who rules in the fullness of the Spirit will reign over the whole earth, just as Isaiah had earlier spoken of when he said in chapter 11, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From the roots, a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth." Again, what a day that'll be. When the Spirit's poured out, when the King of Kings is ruling and reigning in all the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're kind of jumping through quite a few scriptures, I know, but there's actually another one that I want to mention as well. It's quite a familiar scripture because Jesus actually began his public ministry by quoting it. Well, part of it. So let's just read the first three verses in Isaiah 61, which says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I'm not sure if you picked up on it as I read through that, but there are three distinct periods of time spoken about within these three verses. Did you see them? Those three verses spoke really about the whole age of grace that we find ourselves in. They spoke very briefly about the coming tribulation period. And then they finally gave some of the characteristics of what it shall be like in the kingdom age. So starting in verse 1 and going to verse 2a, you could say, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So when Jesus stood up in the synagogue at the very start of his ministry, he read from this exact passage of scripture. And he actually stopped mid-verse. You probably know this. He read through verse 1 and he read through just part of verse 2 and then he stopped. You know, he got to the part where it says that he was proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord and went no further. He then rolled the scroll back up and he said to all those that were there that today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So this acceptable year of the Lord is really the age of grace. It started from Jesus' ministry really right through to the end of the church age. It's the age of grace. But the second period of time that is mentioned in this verse, the second part of verse 2, where it says, "And the day of vengeance of our God." You know, this second part of verse 2 speaks of a day that's still to come. This is the day of vengeance, okay? This is going to occur at the end of this age, in this last seven-year period, climaxing especially in what we would call the great and terrible day of the Lord, which is when Jesus returns to put down his enemies, right at the very end of the tribulation. But thirdly and finally, you have verse 3. And this speaks about what happens after that period, the kingdom age that is still to come, where he says this, "To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Now, you know, the main focus of this message, obviously, is to do with the Holy Spirit and the blessing of the Spirit in this coming kingdom age. And we can see really the outworking of the Spirit within this passage because it speaks of beauty instead of ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. You know, all of this is the result of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon those that are blessed enough to enter into this kingdom. Earlier on in the series on the Holy Spirit, I actually did three messages on oil, how oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. And we see oil in this passage. It speaks about the oil of joy being given in that day. And again, it's just a reminder of the wonderful joy of the Holy Spirit that will fill believers and all those who enter into this kingdom. Bring it on. What a day, what a period of time, what an age that is going to be. You know, and I guess as I was reading this, I was kind of thinking about how there's such a contrast. You know, today, there is still mourning. There is still heaviness. There are still ashes, you know, figuratively speaking. You know, we live in this fallen, cursed world and life's not easy. You know, it's certainly a true promise that Jesus gave for this day and age, when he said that in this world you will have trouble. And I guess just to give you an example, I've been a little bit slow kind of getting this message together and out. And the reason is because, I've been staying recently with my mum to help her because she was diagnosed a couple of months ago, or maybe a little bit more than that, with a brain tumor. And so I've been staying with her and really trying to help her as she was preparing for surgery. And during that time, only about a week and a bit ago, while I was with her, someone, decided that they would try to break into my house. I think that they were trying to steal my e-bike, so they punched a hole in my window. And that really, they were literally 30 seconds away from getting in and getting out with my bikes. So something or someone must have startled them. But thanks to the Lord speaking to my mum, I was able to remove the bikes, and probably just in time, because I set a little trap, a kind of a sign that I would know if someone had come back and had come through a gate that they have to come to. And sure enough, when I came the next day, they had come back again a second time that night under the cover of darkness. But thankfully, they found that I'd already removed my bikes. So at the same time, my mum, 85-year-old mother, she's gearing up to have really her skull open for brain surgery, which she had last week. And it was, it was actually amazing. God was incredibly kind to her and faithful, and she got through it really successfully. And initially we were told that the tumour wasn't cancerous, but now we've been rung by the hospital and told that actually it is, which means possible radiation, and or further surgery still await. So I guess I just say all this because, we all are going through different things in this life, and there is a heaviness, and it's not easy. There is an unease as we walk through this current world and life. There can be mourning, there can be uncertainty, but God is adequate in all things. And again, just as a testimony, let me say that God has been with my mum, and really I've been able to see just how incredibly kind he has been to her during this whole time. And I'm not just saying that because, it's the Christian thing to say something like that. He actually really has. He's upheld her, strengthened her, and allowed her to go through this trying time really without fear or anxiety. And, no, we're not out of the woods yet, because, she still does have cancer to some degree. We've got to find out what after having this operation. But she's living with God's peace and strength, through his Holy Spirit. And she's living, I guess, with that sustaining hope of what is to come. That day, like I read before, when wrong will be right, when Aslan, or Jesus, comes in sight. And at the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. And when he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. So I guess really just to sort of bring this to a conclusion, we have looked, albeit probably a bit briefly, at a few different scriptures which have this in common. In the age to come, the Spirit will be poured out in a new and even greater, fuller way. And we experience also his Spirit today, but it will actually be far greater in the age to come. The love of the Spirit, the joy of the Spirit, the peace of the Spirit, all really without measure. Can you imagine it? Keep your eyes on the finish line and the glories to come. And just when you thought that I had used up my full collection of scriptures on this topic, I just got one more that I want to share with you. as it relates to this. Let me just end with this. Romans 8, 22 to 23. It says that we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. There's lots of things we could sort of focus on in that passage, but you might have noticed that Scripture says that we currently have the first fruits of the Spirit. You know, what is first fruits? It's the first part of the harvest, really, that comes in before the fullness. And the fullness, or the full measure of the harvest, compared to the first fruits, is still to come. And until then, we groan inwardly, with sometimes a few of those groans escaping outwardly, because we long for that day of full redemption. But that day, the day of what we could call the great reset, when God puts all things right, is coming. And with it comes the fullness of His Spirit. Yeah, and this is the day that we long for. Let me just quote C.S. Lewis one last time. This is from the last book in the Narnia series called The Last Battle, where he talks about this new Narnia that came. And he says, it's hard to explain how the sunlit land was different from the old Narnia, as it would be to tell you how the fruits of that country taste. The new one was a deeper country. Every rock and flower and blade of grass looked as if it meant more. I can't describe it any better than that. And if you ever get there, you'll know what I mean. And it was the unicorn who summed up what everyone was feeling. He stamped his right forehoof on the ground and neighed, and then cried, I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land that I have been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. The reason why we loved the old Narnia so much is because it sometimes looked a little like this. So that's the day that we long for, and until that day, we look to Him to sustain us in all things that we go through. We thank Him for the presence of the Helper, the Holy Spirit that He has given into our lives. We thank Him that He is able to look after us and to bring all of His children through all the troubles that we go through to that glorious day. So keep looking up and run that which is left of this race well. May God bless you. May the joy of the Holy Spirit be with you.